Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life Podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So how are we to live in these last days? Are we to hunker down, shake our fists at the darkness? Or maybe, here's an idea, how about we listen to the voice of the Lord? And we rise up to fulfill our God-given purpose for these days. How about we embrace with our whole hearts the truth that God knew what He was doing when He allowed us to be living and breathing on the earth for such a time as this? I read this passage last time my guest was on, but I'm going to read it again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you are waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. How amazing is that? He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. And again, I asked these questions last time Jeff Kinley joined me, but I want to ask him again. How ready are we? How united are we? How biblical are we? How expectant are we? What are God's people doing right now to prepare for His imminent return? Our Bible prophecy pro, Jeff Kinley, joins me once a month. And today, we're going to talk specifically about how to find our God-given purpose in these last days. Quick announcement before we hear from Jeff. We at Faith Radio are deeply committed to prayer. We don't just talk about praying. We actually do pray. We have an active prayer life in our staff meetings, and we want to stand with you. We care about you. Even though our network is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's getting to be wild and crazy keeping up with the prayer requests, we take them seriously. We write them down. We divvy them up. Sometimes we pray as a group. All that to say, we want to pray for you. If you've got a prayer request, always feel free, anytime, day or night, text it or call it in. If you call this number, you'll get our voice line, and we've got producers who check that as all the time. You might know this number by heart by now. I hope you do. 877-933-2484. Text or call anytime. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Jeff Kinley is a former pastor and best-selling author of 39 books. He's a recognized expert and thought leader in the field of Bible prophecy, having authored 11 books on the subject. He connects with this generation, engaging them with biblical truth in a fresh, practical way. Jeff's busy speaking schedule has him traveling coast to coast and internationally in 2022, speaking at churches and conferences all over the world. He and his wife, Beverly, have been married for 40 years, and they have three grown sons. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Suzy, always great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to this conversation. And just friends, so you know, this conversation is based on a recent online conference that he and his partner in ministry put together for those who really want to know how to live in these last days. But before we dig into that content, you know, I ask the same question every day. What's God been talking to you about these days?
Yeah, well, I've been doing kind of revisiting the book of Daniel and doing a personal study in Daniel. And a couple of things that just jump out to me about that book that have really been applicable to my life is just the fact that here Daniel found himself a godly man living in a very godless generation. And I thought, well, nothing is more applicable than that right now for believers, because we are modern day Daniels. We're in a foreign land, as it were. But just through reading that book, just the idea that it says that Daniel made up his mind, the idea that Daniel was so set before he faced the temptation, before he faced the challenges of his culture, he had his mind already set. So the decisions that Daniel made throughout the book of Daniel were decisions that had been already set in his heart way before the challenges came. And that was just an encouragement to me that we don't really, even though we live our lives kind of on the fly, there's certain settled convictions that we should all have based on the Word of God that will save us, that will protect us, that will provide for us during our time of need. So that's just really been impressing upon me is, hey, I'm out there in the darkness just like everybody else is. So make sure we have our armor on and we're prepared way ahead of time.
I think, too, there's so much to what you just said, because it implies that you're spending time in the Word. It implies you're spending time with God, that you're getting a standard set by God, not by culture. And then you're determining this is the standard. No matter what the world's deciding, this is the standard, and I'm not backing down. You know, again, that implies time, thought, reflection, the Word, God's presence, don't you think?
It really does. In fact, it makes me immediately think of Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul says to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, which is our reasonable, logical service of worship. But then he says, don't be conformed to the world. In other words, don't let that pressure out there, the narratives that are out there, the values, the morals, or the conversations, the posts, don't let those things pressure you into its mold. But he said, instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And of course, that's exactly what Scripture does for us. It refreshes, it cleanses our mind. It wipes the dirt off the windshield, if you will, and allows us to see clearly in the world that we're living in. And so that, to me, that has been another thing that's been on my mind, because I'm teaching through the book of Romans in a Bible study. We just studied that passage. But just the idea of every day, refresh, reboot, reconnect with God. And if when you do that, you're able to think God's thoughts out there in the world, and it takes away all the confusion.
Oh, so good. Well, you and your ministry partner hosted recently an online conference to help people discern the times and to know what to do. And it really was about living out your calling and your purpose in these latter days. Talk about just that idea and, you know, why, how God brought it to your mind and how you decided to put this thing online to help equip people to live out their calling in this day.
Absolutely. Well, we've discovered that with our podcast that has just completely exploded in terms of audience, that our audience is really trending downward in terms of the age. So we have a lot of young moms there, moms that are holding babies, listen to a podcast and that type of thing. And they're asking the questions, so what am I supposed to do? I mean, you've convinced me that we're living in the end times with all the signs of the times, but how then should I live? And really beyond that, how can I max out for God? How can I make sure that I go way beyond just surviving, just thriving, to actually winning and overcoming and influencing? And so we titled this little mini conference, The Seven Marks of an End Times Influencer. That's kind of a hot word today, you know, in social media, is to be an influencer. And we thought, gosh, why not Christians? Why don't we ourselves be an influencer for Jesus Christ? And so let's talk about some characteristics of the kind of person that actually is going to make a difference, not just by saying you're a Christian or by going to church or just by wearing a Christian label, but the kind of person who actually makes an impact in the world today. So that's kind of where this all came from. And so we just spent a couple hours just equipping the saints with that in mind.
It was really great content. And, you know, Jeff, when you look at the news and you see culture spiraling literally out of control, I mean, we are in a day where our shame is our glory, where right is wrong and wrong is right. It is jaw-dropping how absolutely insane the times have become. When you look at all of that, it's easy to lose heart. And yet, things are moving in the direction that Scripture predicted they would. So talk to us about the kind of things that are happening today that are really leaping right off the pages of Scripture.
Yeah, well, you know, all you have to do is just turn on your computer or look at your phone newsfeed, and what you see there is there's a war going on in Israel. And that, to me, is one of the flashing neon signs. I mean, here's this tiny little country the size of New Jersey that we could, you know, we could fit, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them inside the United States, but the whole world's focused on Israel. And the Bible talks about nations that are around Israel that will come against her in the last days in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And of course, we know that Hamas is a proxy of Iran. And of course, Turkey is making alliances with Iran, as is Russia, which is another country that's predicted to come down south against Israel. So we look at what's going on just geopolitically in terms of wars and rumors of wars, and we see it's lining up exactly as Scripture says. And then you move from there just to the whole idea of globalism and the idea that there is a push towards a one-world government right now, exactly as the Scripture predicts in Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13. And we see that globalism really encroaching upon America. There's pressure for us to be really absorbed into a global mindset. We see that going on. There's many other things. There's the digital currency that's being developed in over 120 countries in the world today, and that has to be in place in order for Antichrist to be able to essentially rule over people's money. And so this digital currency thing is happening as we speak. And then on top of all this, as you mentioned, there's this tsunami of sin and spiritual insanity that's really sweeping the nation. I mean, God is being rejected as creator. You've got deviant lifestyles, people inventing new realities, false gods. You've got the whole idea of sexual slavery that's going on in the world, violence, a boiling hatred against Israel, against Christians, and really everything connected with decency. And so here we are as Christians, we see these signs coming together. And then we read 1 John 2:18, where John says, little children, it is the last hour. And we go, John, yeah, we get it. We know what you're talking about here. But here's the encouragement, though, Susie, is that, you know, when John wrote those words, the church to which he wrote was living under a Roman pagan godless government. They were living in truly a godless world. And they were the ones to initiate the Gospels. I mean, God had given them the charge to go and make a difference. And you're this tiny minority. And as Paul said, not many of you are wise, not many of you are noble, not many of you are wealthy. But he says, you're going to change the world because it's not about you. It's about the gospel that's in you. So I take great heart in that, knowing that the power of the gospel is greater than any power in this world, and God has given it to us to influence the world to bring them to Jesus Christ.
So good. At the conference, you said Revelation does no longer seem like science fiction. It's actually headline news, and truly, that is the case. And as you outlined some of the things as you did here and at the conference, if we're putting our heads in the sand, if we're just numbing out because it's all too terrifying, we really won't be discerners of the truth. And yet somehow, some way, you know, I think of Abraham, Romans 4, we read, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, but he did not let it make him waver in unbelief regarding the promises of God. In fact, he was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God because he knew God was able to fulfill his promises. And I feel like, you know, he looked square in the face at his lack. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, but then he stood on the truth that it was God who was able to deliver on his word. I feel like that's a great word for us right now in this hour, Jeff, because if we are putting our head in the sand, if we're entertaining ourselves to death, or we're getting so full of bitterness or fear, we will not hear the voice of the Lord because we'll be in the flesh. But if we could go, yes, the times are tough, but that's the fact. But the truth is, God is well able to deliver me. You know, his part is to deliver me. Mine is to trust him. I would love for you to just take a few minutes to unpack that mindset, because I know we've got amazing, amazing listeners. And there's some that I love so much that have just been honest and said, I love Jesus. I want to represent him rightly, but I'm terrified at how fast things are escalating. So what say you?
I would say, first of all, to recognize that the devil's favorite device is fear. He loves to make people afraid. Yeah. He loves this whole crisis that we went through a couple of years ago was all about fear. And when you can get people to be afraid, Susie, then you're going to paralyze them. They're just going to be sitting like a deer in the headlights and not being able to move or do anything. But we know from what Paul wrote, Timothy said, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power. And, you know, you think about Peter, you talk about Abraham, think about Peter. Here's a guy who denied Christ. And yet on the day of Pentecost, he stood up and 3,000 people were saved when he spoke. What made the difference? Well, the difference was the God that was in him and the God that enabled him to stand up and be bold, even though he had denied Jesus three times. And I look at Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17. And when Christ prayed for us, you and me, he prayed, God, don't take them out of the world. Just keep them from the evil one. In fact, he says two verses later, he says, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them in the world. And I think part of being an end times influencer is recognizing that every believer has a divine calling, a divine mandate, a divine mission, straight from God. It's orders from headquarters. And we've been given this treasure in these earthen vessels to take to the world. And we have a limited time to do it. And so that's why we have to suit up, we have to stand up, and we have to speak out and do whatever God has called us to do. And just to know this, that if God can use all those failures, nobodies, and losers in the Bible, then he can certainly use you as well.
Oh, come on. Somebody got to text me an amen for that one. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Jeff, you also said we are mirroring the days of Noah today. So when we come back, I know we've done this on past broadcasts, but I still, for the context of today's conversation, want you to give us a description of what Noah's day was like, and then an application of how it applies to and how similar it is to the days we face today. Talking to Bible Prophecy Pro, Jeff Kinley. In fact, he's got a podcast under that name, Prophecy Pros. Phenomenal. We'll put a link to his podcast in our show notes. But today we're talking about how to find purpose in these last days. But right now we're sort of setting the stage, and then we're going to walk through as many of these seven indicators of an influencer of the end times as we can get through. Jeff Kinley's my guest, and we'll be back in a minute. This is Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, He's on the move. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We've got our Bible Prophecy Pro expert, Jeff Kinley, on the show every month, and he joins us today to talk about something a little bit different. It's about finding your purpose in these last days, but right now we're setting context for the fact that we're in the last days. And Jeff has said this over and over again. He said it on the online conference, and he'll say it again today, that we're not here to predict dates, but we are called to discern the times. And you really have to have your head in the sand to not discern the times that we're living in. In fact, you said we are mirroring the days of Noah today. So talk about the days of Noah and then what they were like, and then make that comparison for us today.
Well, we begin with the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, 37. He told his disciples that in the last days that it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And so we rewind back to Genesis chapter 6, and we say, well, what were the days of Noah like? And what we find out from chapter 6, there are four glaring characteristics that come out of this passage. And the first one, Susie, is really a broad swath of sexual deviance that was going on in that day. There's sexual unions between the sons of God, or B'nai Elohim, as it says in the Hebrew, which always refers to angels in scripture. And we take those to be demons, and somehow demons came and took on human form, as angels are able to do at times in scripture, and they cohabitated with earthly daughters, whether forcefully or by consent, we're not told. But there was a product of that, an offspring of that. There was a very evil, wicked generation. And in fact, over in chapter 6 and verse 11, he says that the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. The whole earth was corrupt. And that same word, this same author, Moses, uses in Exodus 32 to talk about really kind of the sexual party that was going on at the base of Mount Sinai when he came down with the Ten Commandments. So there was just a sexual explosion that was going on, deviant behavior, sexually speaking. And of course, it's not a leap to really look at our world and see that happening today. We've been through the sexual revolution. We're in the homosexual revolution, the transgender thing that's going on. And it seems as though Satan is trying in every way he can to pervert God's design for marriage, for sexuality, for purity. And that was going on in the days of Noah. And that's one of the reasons that God decided to come in and say, hey, I'm giving you guys 120 years and that's it because of what you're doing. So there was the sexual deviance. There was also just a pandemic godlessness on the whole. In other words, the whole planet had simply forgotten their creator. And it says in verse five, it says, then the Lord saw the wickedness of mankind was so great on the earth that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And that's kind of hard for me to wrap my mind around, Susie, but it's just the idea that we've just forgotten God. God's not a part of anything in our culture, in our government, in our society. We've just moved him to the margins. We voted him off this island. We don't want God to be a part of our lives. And so we're seeing that really globally. And then another area was the area of violence. And twice in this passage, he mentions violence as one of the reasons why he was going to, quote, I will wipe out mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth. And God hates violence. God hates it when we kill one another, when we do harm to one another. And so that was going on all over the earth. And then finally, we observe from Noah's generation is that Noah was the only one who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, we went from a godly heritage from Adam to Seth, and there was just a fine line of godliness that you can trace throughout the book of Genesis all the way down to Noah. But the idea was Noah was outnumbered billions to one. Everybody else, think about it, everybody else was godless. And only Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. So that tells me, you know, we feel like minorities right now. We feel like the only person in class, the only person at school, in our neighborhood, you know, in the girls group, wherever it is. But guess what? Noah felt the same thing. And what did he do? He got up every day, grabbed his hammer, grabbed his saw, and went to building and doing what God had told him to do.
Wow, that's so good, which brings us to that next idea is that we need to discern our role as the clock ticks down. In fact, you even call us to a next level of faith. Wherever you're at, it's time to up your game. Now that we've made the case for the times we're in, it is time to engage because it's so easy to have places and spaces in our lives where we're phoning it in. You know, we're going through the motions. We're half asleep, and it's time to be awakened to all that God has. So we're going to get through seven marks of an end time influence. And maybe mark is not the word we want to use because we'll talk about the mark of the beast if we have time in a bit. Seven indicators, seven attributes of an end times influencer. The first one is this person is a person who's a passionate follower of Jesus. And you said it's no time for cultural Christians or bench warmers. And then you referenced a hard passage that people have a tough time with it. I'd love for you to explain where Jesus says those who do not hate their family are not worthy to be his followers. And those who don't pick up their cross to follow him, they cannot be disciples. And you said we have to examine our hearts regularly and ask ourselves, how close am I following really? And so unpack that one if you would.
Yeah, it's when you think about that, being a passionate follower of Christ, you say, well, wait a minute, aren't we all? I mean, don't we all love Jesus? Don't we all want to follow him? And Susie, I'm reminded of a famous story of the legendary football coach Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers one time after a brutal loss that the Packers suffered. He drove them back to Green Bay in the bus. It was freezing cold. He took them to the stadium. He got them all out on the field, and he stood before them, these professional football players, and he looked at him, and he picked up a football, and he said, gentlemen, this is a football. And he began from there, from the very basic things about playing the game. Well, That's what Jesus does right here. He talks about the basics of discipleship. And the thing about Jesus was, is that he drew great crowds. He drew huge crowds. In fact, it says in verse 25 of Luke 14, it says great multitudes were going along with him. And he turned to them and he spoke to them and he said something to them that would cause the vast majority of them to simply get up and go home. He did the same thing in John chapter 6. And Jesus was essentially thinning out the herd because he wanted to know who's really in. I mean, who's all in to this thing? And he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and sisters and brothers and even his own life, he can't be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross cannot be my disciple and come after me. And so what Christ is saying there, when he uses this terminology, he says, hate your own father or mother. What he's saying, and we look at the parallel passage over in Matthew chapter 10, around verse 37, he says, he who loves father or mother more than me cannot be my disciple. And this is really kind of the fish or cut bait moment, I think, for all believers, is Christ is asking us, are you really serious about me? Or are you just kind of like enjoying calling yourself a Christian, going to a certain church, having Christian friends? Or are you radical for me? Are you want to be all in this thing? And if that's true, Jesus says, I want all of you. I want all of your allegiance. I want all of your love. You know why? Because I deserve it, because I'm God. And he says, if you're not ready to give me that type of commitment, he says, then you're not ready to be a disciple of mine. You're not ready to be a Christian. And so this is, I think, a very clarion call. It's something that is very sobering. It's not very popular. You don't really hear it in sometimes gospel presentations in churches, but hear from the very mouth of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say in the rest of the passage, Susie, hey, count the cost. Don't make a quick decision. Don't just come forward. Don't just say, raise your hand or say yes, because it sounds like the good thing to do. He says, you need to think about this, because this is going to impact not just the rest of your life, but all of eternity. And so he gives illustrations about don't start to build a house unless you're going to finish it. If you're going to go to war, make sure you have enough men to fight the war, that type of thing. And so Christ says, I want all of your heart. I want all of your possessions. I want all of your allegiance, because I'm God and I deserve it. So being a passionate follower of Jesus Christ is the only kind of person that can be an influencer in this world. People are not going to be impressed with our church services or with our fancy, you know, presentations of the gospel, but they can be transformed if we get out there and tell them who Jesus Christ really is. And you know what? Like Christ, these people walked away. And in John 6, Susie, the vast majority of the crowd left him. And at the end, he's just sitting there with his disciples saying, hey, are you guys going to leave me too? And they're like, nope, because you're the only one that has the words of life. And we believe you're the Son of God.
Wow. You know, scripture talks about, you know, Jesus plus nothing is everything. I mean, for by grace you're saved through faith. And yet I feel too often that a watered down gospel is preached where there's no mention of sin, no mention of a wrath that's to come if you don't have the blood of Jesus over your life. And I wonder if that one of the reasons we're seeing such a great apostasy is because people maybe didn't, you know, I didn't sign up for this, because whatever it was that they were preached wasn't clearly what Jesus was asking.
I think that's true. I think most people come to a savior that is there to meet their needs instead of coming to a God to whom they are to submit their life. And it's a beautiful surrender. I mean, it's freedom. It's once we come to Christ and we give him all. And of course, we spend the rest of our lives struggling with that choice. You know, we fight sin and we fight self, and you know, it's us and God who's going to be on the throne today. So we all have that struggle. Paul had that struggle in Romans 12. But at the base, at the core commitment, in the heart of hearts of who we are, God needs to know in that heart of hearts that we love him, we want him, we are committed to him. And if God can work with that, he could do anything with us.
Oh, so good. Okay, so that first attribute of an end times influencer is the person is a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. Second is they're a student of the Word of God. And you say the more we get into the Word, the more the Word gets into us. And we need to avail ourselves to solid biblical resources. And you unpack how the Word is likened in Scripture to a lamp, a seed, and a sword, and so much more. But talk about that. The end times influencer is a student of the Word of God.
Well, it's the reason it's so important is because the Word of God has been so downplayed in Christianity as a whole. It's where, you know, sometimes you'll go to a church and there'll be a great TED talk and something to help you feel good, but they're really not digging into the Bible. And Paul made it very clear that in his letters to Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And this is not just something, Susie, that's a command for pastors. It's something for all of us. And one reason why it's so important right now is because, according to George Barna, there's about 18% of Christians read their Bibles once a week, 19% never read their Bibles, and only 9% read them every day. And so if that's true, then one out of every 10 Christians is in the Word every day. And then we look around and we wonder, why are we not changing the world? Well, it could be the fact that you're not eating, you're not getting nutrients for your heart. In fact, Barna came out with a recent study. This is just this week, where they said that among preteens right now, he said Christianity is going away. It's like becoming invisible among preteens today. That 21% of preteens don't believe that there's absolute moral truth. And so when you've got one fifth of preteens not knowing whether something is true or not, we have a generation coming up that's not going to embrace Christianity that says, no, here are absolute truths. So it just highlights the fact that as we get into the Word of God, and the reason why that's important, Susie, is not because we're in some sort of religious curriculum where we have to learn the material so we can spout it back to people. Now, Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it does business with our heart. I mean, we read the Word, but the Word reads us. And when that happens, God Himself is speaking. And I heard someone say one time, kind of tongue in cheek, if you want to hear, or if you want to hear God speak to you, then read the Bible. If you want to hear God speak out loud to you, read the Bible out loud. And so the more that we get into the Bible, then we are touching the mind and heart of God. We're engaging and interacting with the only book that He ever wrote. And the truths that are in the Bible are ever changing. In fact, it's really interesting because we had dinner the other night with a dear couple that's in our Bible study, and the wife asked me. She said, "Jeff, are you, after all these years and all the things you've written and done, are you still learning?" And I just laughed and I just said, "Oh my gosh!" I said, "I learn every day. I learn more about the Word every day because it's inexhaustible. It's a bottomless well. You'll never touch the bottom of it." And so I am continually just being a student, continually having that joy of discovery. And Susie, after I read the Bible and I study the Bible, I feel so much stronger. I have so much more confidence to face the world out there and to face my own heart and to face the things that I struggle and the things that I face in my life. So being a student of the Word of God and allowing the seed of the Word inside us, allowing it to burn in us like a fire, drinking it like water and milk, eating it like meat, and even going to those deeper parts, by the way, that Hebrews talks about, that we have our senses trained through the scriptures. And some of Bible prophecy is kind of in the deep end of the pool. And when you go down there, you got to do a little bit more study to get, to mine the gold that's down there. But the reward is more. The more you dig, the more you get.
So good. As we go to break, I'm remembering a study that was done, I think, by Willow Creek all those years ago, but about people who study scripture, who literally are reading, immersing, and applying what they read 4 days a week, 4 or more days a week, are the ones who experience life change. Those who are skimming, kind of hit and miss once in a while, experience very little life change. Now, the word is a seed, so hopefully the enemy doesn't snatch it from the soil of your heart. But people who are really going, "I'm in this. I believe the word of God is my plumb line. It's the final say." And you lean in with a humble heart and you integrate and apply what God is speaking to you about. Life change happens. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've experienced it in my own life. If you're not reading the word, no shame, no guilt. I'm just saying, to stand in these days, you've got to know the word, because then you'll know God's voice. We're going to take a break talking to Jeff Kinley. We're talking about finding our purpose in these last days, and we're talking about seven kind of indicators, attributes of end time influencers. We'll do more on this conversation when we return. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're talking to our good friend Jeff Kinley, who joins us every month to talk about Bible prophecy. He's got a great podcast called Prophecy Pros, and we'll put that link in the show notes. You can check it out because, boy, it's great. So insightful. Today, we're talking about finding purpose in these last days, discerning the times and knowing what to do. And the fact that you're living and breathing on the earth today proves that you've got a call of God on your life. And one of the things Jeff's asking of us is to up our game, to engage on a deeper level, maybe to take inventory of our heart in ways we've maybe wandered, fallen to sleep, have compromised, because it's a time to be all hands on deck, eyes wide open, hearts engaged, and really listening for the voice of God. And he did a conference online recently to help people be equipped to live out their purpose in these last days. And he's generous enough to give us some of the points he made in that conference. We're talking about seven attributes of an end times influencer. That first one is it's a person who's passionate, a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. And you need to ask yourself, how close am I following, really? Second is that you're a serious and a true student of the Word of God, that you're in the Word regularly and studying it. And as he says, availing yourselves of biblical, solid biblical resources. Now, the third one, a discerner of the times. And you said that discernment is sorely lacking in the body of Christ today. Say more.
Well, it really is. I mean, you think about the children that we've had. If you're a parent, then you know this as a fact, that when your kids are little kids, they crawl around, they'll reach out and put anything in their mouth. they don't have any discernment about, is this good? Will this hurt me? Can I swallow this? Will I choke? And that's the characteristics of someone who is in an infantile stage. And what we found, Susie, is that Christians will bring any truth or any pseudo-truth, they'll accept anything, they'll believe anything, they'll follow anything until they grow to maturity. And one of the signs of a maturing believer is that they are able to have spiritual discernment, meaning they're able to see the world through the grid of Scripture, through the template or the lens, rather, of Scripture. And when that happens is they're able to essentially read the world through the Bible. And that's why Paul in Philippians chapter 1, one of the prayers he had for them, he says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. And that word discernment there is a fascinating word that literally means to cut through the haze or to size things up. And so this idea of discernment is in the glut of noise and fluff and misinformation and lies and deception that we're walking through, we're wading through that every single day in our culture. The biblical Christian who has biblical discernment has the ability to see through it all. It's like night vision goggles. You can see what's going on even in the dark. And so that's one of the characteristics of a person that is able to have an influence, because they're walking through that haze and through that fog, and they can call out what they see as sin, and they can call out what is good, because the very next verse says that you may approve the things that are excellent. And so it's really a part of maturity. And notice it builds on those other two stages of having your heart sold out to Jesus and being in the Word. And this discernment is no more important than it is in the area of the end times and Bible prophecy, because there's a lot of sensationalism out there, Susie. A lot of people that are, everything is a sign to some people. And then you have another crowd that nothing is a sign. Well, the discerner is able to know which is a sign and which is not, which is contributing towards the end times narrative, and which is just something that's just simply out there in culture. So from discernment in between good and evil, in spiritual warfare, making wise decisions in your life, those questions are answered when we develop that discernment by being in the Word.
Okay, so this is, okay, I'm going to rehearse. We've got three down, four to go. Is a person, an end times influencer is a person who's passionate follower of Jesus Christ. They are a student of the Word. They're a discerner of the times. Now, the fourth one, you may think this overlaps a little bit with one of the previous, but it doesn't. Must be committed to sound doctrine. And you separated this out from being a student of the Word. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah. And I would just quickly say on the discernment thing real quick, Susie, that it's a life skill, not a download. And that's an important point. All these things are life skills, not downloads. And so it's something that happens over time. So it's not an instant drive-through discipleship kind of thing. But yeah, being committed to sound doctrine, the reason why this is so important is for two reasons. Number one, biblical truth and Christian doctrine are under assault today, from Genesis to Revelation. If you stand up and say you believe in the Genesis account, you're going to immediately draw the fire. If you say you believe Revelation is really going to happen, they're going to come after you. So from Genesis to Revelation, everything in between, scripture and sound teaching is really under attack. And also, the reason why doctrine matters so much is because God's doctrine in the scripture reflects his own character. It reflects who he is, and it also reflects his will. It's something that God wants us to know and understand so that we can discern the difference between truth and error, but also so that we can help people understand. Now, that's why, it's, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't really know what I'm, you know, why I believe it. I just know I believe it. Like that hymn says, I know he lives in my heart. Well, that's fine, but how do you know? And so when you study sound doctrine, it's how do I know? It gives you roots into your belief system. And it helps you know why you believe what you believe. And so with doctrine under attack today, and with so much going on in the Christian world that is deviating from the Word of God, we have to be people of the book. And Susie, so many times I am asked to speculate and to make predictions and to say, you know, who's the Antichrist and all these other things. And I just literally and physically just hold my Bible in my hand and say, look, I can't go beyond the pages of this book. I'm bound to this book. And if we adhere ourselves to what God teaches as sound doctrine, then we know, just like Paul wrote Timothy, he says, you're going to be a good servant of Jesus Christ.
Wow. You know, scripture talks about the great apostasy, the great falling away before the coming of the Lord. And Jeff, when you think of professing Christian churches and maybe even denominations, I don't want to paint with too broad of a stroke, but let's take individual churches who are professing Christian churches, but they're taking license with certain doctrine. What is the consequence of that? Like, how does God deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we know from Revelation 2 and 3, that God will remove that church's lampstand. Essentially, that is a church's ability to be an influencer in the world for Jesus Christ. In other words, you've been unplugged. There's no power in you. You have no ability. It's like in the Old Testament, Ichabod. The glory has departed from this place. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when a church apostatizes or denies essential core doctrines of Scripture, then essentially the Holy Spirit and his influence through that church is going to be taken away, and their light will be snuffed out.
Wow. Wow. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to walk through 5, 6, and 7, talking to our prophecy pro expert, Jeff Kinley. He joins us every month, and normally we're exploring different Bible prophecies. We touched on that at the beginning of the show, but really wanted to walk through his message on finding purpose in these last days, really making the case that you have a God-given purpose in these latter days, but he does call for an upgrade in faith, a deeper engagement, searching your heart, searching your life. Is there any way that I'm kind of phoning it in, going through the motions, pretending to be more spiritual than I am? Because, Lord, I want you to find me ready, all in, loving you with my heart, soul, mind, strength, and loving others as I love myself. I mean, really being on mission, because so much of what's going on in the earth today is going to burn up. But what we do for Jesus, that will survive the flames. And we'll talk about that on the other side as well. Jeff Kinley's my guest. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, solitude is one thing, loneliness another. We can enjoy rich times with God in solitude, yet we can be in a large crowd and feel all alone. It all depends on the season we're in and the perspective we embrace. Maybe, just maybe, you're walking through a season where nobody quite understands what you're walking through. Well, friend, you know what? Jesus knows. You're never alone. Even so, every one of us needs encouragement on this journey. We would love to encourage you today. If you need some texts of audio encouragement, we would love to send those to you. Text the word LONELY to 877-933-2484. Again, text the word LONELY to 877-933-2484. I want you to be reminded that you're not alone. He is with you. We're with you too. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Every month, we have Jeff Kinley on the show to talk Bible prophecy. He's our prophecy pro expert, and he's got a great podcast under that similar title, Prophecy Prose. We'll link that up in our show notes in case you want to check it out. It's so informative, so good. He's got such a balanced biblical approach. You can trust what he says. Today, we're talking about finding purpose in these last days. It's a little different of the kind of conversation that Jeff and I usually have, but it felt very timely and very important. And it's based on a conference, an online conference that he and his ministry partner, Todd, recently hosted. We're looking at seven attributes of an end times influencer. And as he says, we're all called to be influencers. Well, that first one is they're a person who's a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. Second, they're a student of God's word. Third is they're a discerner of the times. Fourth, must be committed to sound doctrine in a day when there's so much departure from biblical sound doctrine. Now, number five is a ministry-minded individual. And I love that you said this. You said, don't go into an area of service where you have no training and no desire. Say more about that.
Yeah, I think it begins with desire. It begins with just a passion in your heart. Say, God, I want to serve you in some way. And then we begin asking ourselves, well, what am I good at? What can I do? And that's why we encourage people to really explore their own spiritual giftedness. I mean, God gave every believer a spiritual gift at salvation. That spiritual gift is already in you. And sometimes it comes through just your desire to do certain things. For example, if you're a passionate follower, you're in the word, you're committed to sound doctrine, you're doing these things we're talking about, and then all of a sudden you say, well, I just want to give mercy to people. That's what I naturally want to do. That's probably your spiritual gift. Or I want to teach others the word of God. Then you've probably been gifted with the gift of teaching. So it begins with desire. And then you look at, then how can I use that desire? What are the opportunities that I have before me? And we just say, Susie, that all Christians are ministers. I mean, we've all heard that before. But there's not an aristocracy in the body of Christ, and we are all called to do ministry. And the key is that we just see ourselves specifically here for a purpose. And I tell people all the time, look, to be a Christian influencer doesn't mean you have to have a huge platform. It means you influence. That's really all it means. And in fact, in 2 Timothy 2:2, I love what Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will in turn teach others also. Is there two people in your circle of influence, two people that you know that you can pour your life into, that you can serve in some way, you can influence in some way? And if you're a parent and you have kids, then God's already given you X number of disciples right there who live just a few feet from you, eat dinner with them every night. So focus in on them, number one, but ask God, hey, what else can I do? How can I use my gifts and my passion for the Lord Jesus Christ? Explore that, experiment with that. And I'll just say this in closing in this point, Susie, is that sometimes that mission will be tweaked. Sometimes it'll take another aspect to it. I was a pastor for 30 years, and that was my primary way to do it. But now I'm doing it just through media and through missions and through writing books and traveling and speaking, radio and things like that. So God may tweak that along the way. So always be open to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, be flexible. I love you said maybe God's calling you to be a ministry entrepreneur, to do something that hasn't been done yet. And the key is that you see yourself being here for a purpose. You have a destiny. I pray that makes your heart beat a little faster as you listen to that. And what if God is asking you to consider, to think outside the box, to dare to pay attention to some of those desires, and then pray some big prayers, ask some big things of God. Here I am, Lord. Yeah. Send me, use me in a way that's totally disproportionate to who I am. Let me tell you what, God loves those kinds of prayers. Okay, we've just got a couple minutes left. Number six, the end times influencer, someone that's motivated by the Bema seat, which is the judgment seat of Christ. Very interesting. Say more.
Yeah, this is the Olympic awards ceremony for Christians. And we know that at the end of the rapture, when we're raptured up to heaven, I believe during that 7 years, Susie, while things are going on here on the earth, that we're going to be in heaven receiving our heavenly rewards. And 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5, Revelation chapter 4 tells us of the crowns that Jesus is polishing for us up there right now. Mm-hmm. And our service here on the earth will determine our heavenly rewards in eternity. It has nothing to do with sin or with heaven or hell or judgment. It's only the positive things that you did for him will be rewarded. And I love what Oswald Chambers says. He wrote, when we see him, we will wonder that we ever could have disobeyed him. And, wow. And that just motivates us right now to say, yeah, by faith, I believe, Jesus, you're so worthy that I'm willing to sacrifice right now. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm motivated. And I want to receive rewards from Jesus. I want a lot of rewards from Christ. Why? Not to build me up, but according to Revelation 4:10, I get to cast those crowns right back at his feet and tell him, it was you. It was you. It was you that was worthy. Mm-hmm. It was your power that got me through it. And you are the one that deserved these rewards.
And that is such a good answer for those who say it's selfish to consider rewards. So I'm good. I'm just in it for Jesus. When he went to great lengths to talk about rewards, if it wasn't important to him, he wouldn't have talked about it. And you're getting an opportunity to pour out your whole life as a praise offering in this life and the life to come. He is worth it. He's worth it. We just got about a minute left. So I didn't get to number seven, so I'm totally in suspense. What's some number seven?
Well, number seven is the end times influencer is someone who is looking for the blessed hope. The blessed hope is the rapture, the return of Jesus Christ for his beautiful bride. And throughout the entire New Testament, you had this incredible spirit of expectation, of anticipation, of eagerness, of awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. It's all throughout the New Testament. And the early church had that Maranatha spirit. They would gather together and say to one another, Maranatha, meaning our Lord come. Because they didn't know if next week they would be able to come together. Then maybe the Lord comes back next week. And so there was this spirit of it could happen at any time, the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And looking for that is not just looking for his return, it's looking for our completion spiritually, our perfection, our glorification, our reunion with those who have gone on before us, and most of all, being able to meet the one face-to-face that we've been serving all these years. And I love what C.T. Studd said. He said, only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And on that day, we want to look back on our life and say, hey, no regrets. And listen, Susie, these seven things here that we've listed, these seven benchmarks of an end times influencer, I hope they sound challenging because they really are. And we may be saying, you know, hey, my heart's kind of palpitating a little bit. I don't know if I can do this. Yes, you can. I was in a conversation.
We got to pause. We're done here, Jeff. Yep. So sorry. Bless you. Yep. Thank you for this time. Thank you for tuning in. I pray that you feel engaged and invited because you are. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.